From the Word. A heart for the harvest is your theme, this mission's emphasis, a heart for the harvest. And we're going to look at a little bit in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, in your verse 435, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know, the fields are ready for harvest. We do see kids saved. Like last summer, we saw some kids saved in Bible school. They were ready for harvest. And we don't always know for sure which folks are ready for harvest. That's why we need to be faithfully getting out there and sharing the gospel, working with individuals, working with folks. But you know, they're ready now. There are people that are ready right now. And Jesus said here, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Okay? They're ready now. Don't wait 4 months. You know, of course, a harvest. You plant the seed, takes time to get the harvest ready. But the Samaritan woman, she had received Christ, and she was already telling others about him. In verse 28 of John 4, the woman then left her water pot, this is the woman of the well, the Samaritan, and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? So she's already telling them, and really, in essence, here they come. They have heard, and they are coming out to meet him. Verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. So, you know, Jesus, when he's saying, look, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Here is the harvest coming out to meet him. It's ready now. And he's saying, look and see. In the second half of that verse, lift up, raise up your eyes. Get your sights where they need to be. Don't be looking. We get so distracted by so many things in life, so many things that have no eternal importance. Now, there's things that are important in this life, but do we concentrate more on the things of this life than on the things of eternity, the things of heaven? You know, you see folks, we rub shoulders with folks day in, day out. You know, we come across folks in school, at work, in the community, in the store, whatever. We come across folks. How many of these folks are just headed for a godless hell? How many of these folks need to hear the gospel? Maybe they're just so spiritually hungry, they just need somebody right now to tell them. How many of these folks are like that we see? How many folks is it that God wants you to be telling and realizing the harvest is right here? Look and see. Open up your eyes and look right now. Here they are. And the primary focus sometimes is temporal. You know, we can see that right here in this passage, verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, prayed Jesus, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him out to eat? So they're kind of focused on, is Jesus hungry concept. But was that really the important thing here? Jesus saying, you know, look, look and see, look here, raise up your eyes and take note. Behold, contemplate on the fields, the place where the harvest is ready. They are white, a whitening color, ripening grain. See the people with spiritual hunger that already, even now, they are ready to harvest the act of reaping. You know, we live in a hopeless world without Christ, but we can offer that hope to them. We can share with them the good news of the gospel here in Troy, around the world. And I appreciate the heart that you have for missions here. I think that ought to be a part of every church, you know, because that's part of Acts 1:8, isn't it? The uttermost part of the world. I mean, it's getting the gospel out, sharing, be a witnesses everywhere. But sometimes, you know, we're focused maybe on certain one element. You don't want to just look at everywhere else and forget Troy either. You want to be looking at Troy. It's everywhere. You're Jerusalem. So let's look and see the harvest field. Let's look at verse 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You know, sometimes our task is not harvesting, but it's sowing. I mean, there's all aspects of the harvest field and getting it ready, and then finally harvesting. But in the harvest, there are laborers. There's laborers that work together for the harvest. But in the harvest, there is reaping. He that reapeth receiveth wages. And it is a joy. It's a rewarding privilege to lead people to Christ. And I've had that opportunity. And it is a joy to see them come to faith in Christ. And gathereth fruit unto life eternal. But it's not fruit for just a season. When we work in the harvest field spiritually, it's eternal life. You know, when grains and fruits and stuff like that, they ripen up and they're ready to harvest. You know, we've done some gardening ourselves. We bring it in, we process it, we can it, and we eat it, and it's gone. It's temporary, right? I mean, it has its benefit, but it's temporary. But when folks get saved, when the harvest field is reaped and folks get saved, this is eternal. This is eternal reward. But before the harvest, there was sowing in verses 37, 38. Verse 37 says, "And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth." Before there is harvesting, there's got to be sowing. Somebody has sowed the seed somewhere. And the reaper, in verse 38, builds upon the work of the sower. "I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labor." So you're building upon those who have sown. And I want to share this with you real quick. This is probably one of my hardest ministry opportunities and most discouraging that I have ever had. They don't look that bad, but it was a discouraging week. This was my first week, or my first summer actually helping at a camp. I was 20 years old, and I had this group of boys. There was actually one more. I think he left early that week before we got the picture. I had six boys that week, and of those six, of course, I always try to find out first part of the week who's saved, who's not saved. So I know what I'm working with. I know how to pray, and I know how to have devotions and so forth, and can minister to them at where they're at, their level. But of those six, one of them said he was saved at the beginning of the week. The others were not. The one that was saved acted worse than the others. And it was just a very discouraging week. And I prayed and I talked with them and I shared. And, you know, we prayed as a group when we had cabin leader prayer meeting. We would pray as a group. And end of that week, every one of them went home, as far as I knew, the way they came. I never saw any movement, no salvation, nothing. And I was discouraged. I was ready to quit. You know, give it up. It's done. But the exciting thing about this whole situation, this whole scenario, the following summer, as I worked at the camp again, two of these boys came back. And both of them made it a point to talk to me and to share that since the previous summer, they had trusted Christ as their Savior. So it wasn't my job to harvest. My job was in the sowing, which is very important too, to sow the seed. Somebody else had the privilege of reaping the harvest as these two boys accepted Christ as their Savior. Did I rejoice? Sure, I rejoiced. We're in this together. Whether you sow, whether you reap, we're all working together for the harvest. And together, we can rejoice. And that's the last thing I want to look at in this passage. Together, there is rejoicing. At the end of that verse 36, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And, you know, whatever your parts you are playing in this, are you sowing the seed? Are you doing some watering? It talks about that in 1 Corinthians. Are you reaping? Do you have opportunities to reap? But it's a united work. You know, it matters very little whether we sow the seed or whether we reap the harvest. It is all part of the same work. You know, in the end, it's God that brings the increase, isn't it? It's God that does the saving. You know, we are his vessels. We are his servants. We are his channels that he uses. But he brings about the spiritual change in hearts and lives. The harvest fields are ready. The laborers work together for the harvest. What is your part in that harvest? And that's a question I want to ask as we come to a close today. What is your part in the harvest? You know, I think about the Sunday school teacher that maybe is sowing the seed in young hearts. Maybe some kids have never heard about the gospel before. Maybe the Sunday school teacher has opportunity to do some reaping. What about the prayer warrior? You don't hear a lot about the prayer warrior. They're behind the scenes praying, maybe in their homes, maybe in their closet at home, praying diligently for the lost, for missionaries, for pastors, for the work to be done. What about the one who witnesses faithfully? Is that your part? Are you a faithful witness? What about the teen or the child that is a light and a testimony to those that they come in contact with at school or sports or whatever? What about the minister of the gospel or the missionary who gives his or her life to reach the unreached? What about the work team that goes to the unreached. I mentioned something about the folks from here from Troy. They would come and help us in the ministry. They would come and work in that. And I've got a few pictures here, some folks we had several years ago, almost 20 years ago that came down. Some of them you may recognize, but the three kids that you see in the picture are the three kids that are not with us today. It's our oldest three. And but anyway, Luke was a baby then. But these folks, you know, they mean a lot to us. This was critical as they went. And anyway, there's other opportunities of ministry that work teams can have. I know of a group. They're raising funds in our area. They're going down somewhere in South America. I think it is Central America. And as a work team and as a work group going down. And I knew of another church. They did it last summer. So this is very, very important. But what is your part in the harvest? Maybe it's one that helps keep the church clean to maintain. I heard about what's going on out here, and someone mentioned, you know, they mentioned, you know, we need help even in the evenings. You know, that's a part of reaching folks for the Lord. That's a part of this ministry and enabling this church to reach folks here in Troy. And so, are you constantly seeking God? What is my part in the harvest? The one who gives and enables missionaries to be on the field, the one who ministers in music. And serves in that way. There's so many ways that we can be a part of the harvest field and sharing the gospel and challenging others to grow. You know, you challenge others to grow, and as they be discipled, and as they grow in their walk with the Lord, then they become instruments to go out, and they reach others, to reach others, to reach others. You know, it just multiplies. But we need to exhort one another. You know, I mentioned earlier that one week at camp, I was discouraged and ready to give it up. And I don't know if you've ever been there. But to be discouraged, ready to give it up, what good is that going to do with the harvest field? Nothing. But, you know, I had people that came around me and encouraged me and helped me to understand that maybe it's not my part to reap the harvest. Maybe it's my part just to sow the seed. And, you know, we don't know what God is doing behind the scenes and how he is working. But we just need to encourage one another, exhort one another to keep pressing on and doing what he would have us to do. What is your part in the harvest? Do you have a heart for the harvest? In this passage, we see the results of the harvest here. In verse 38, I sent you to reap that, or verse 39, many of the Samaritans, they come out to Jesus. Here comes the harvest field, and this is the end result. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, on Jesus, for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I did. And when the Samaritans were coming unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So the harvest field truly was ready there. It was ripe. And Jesus knew that. And what around us, what harvest field, what part of it is ready? Are we faithfully witnessing? Are you afraid to witness? I am sometimes. When somebody responds to the gospel or to an invitation and they have this different things they want to talk about, you know, so many times before I even talk with them, I'm already praying, God, I need your help. I need your guidance. I don't know what to say many times. Sometimes they'll pour out their hearts with other issues. And that's all we need to do is just commit it to him and trust in him and rest in him. And, you know, as Christians, as believers in Christ, we have that Holy Spirit living in us. He will guide us. He will help us to know what to do. The harvest field is ready. Are we doing our part in that? Lord, we thank you for this opportunity we could share together today. We thank you for this church. Thank you for the heart that they have for missions. Thank you, Lord, that they have been reaching out all over the world. But even they have a heart here at Troy. Lord, help that to grow. Help them to see those around them that are lost, that are perishing. And Father, they would be willing to share the gospel. Maybe it's just sowing the seed, but Father, maybe it's also reaping. Help us each to be faithful, we pray in Jesus' name.
Let's continue with heads bowed and eyes closed. And as we think of the challenge here today, what is your part in the harvest? And do you have a heart for the harvest? Every last one of us has a part. We need to be sowing. Maybe we have the opportunity and privilege to be a reaper. And I just encourage you to think about what your part would be in the matter of the harvest. As we encourage you to fill out a communication card. On that card, you have an opportunity to respond. Maybe you have questions about the whole matter of salvation. You've heard Jody mention the importance of salvation and many who have trusted Christ through their ministry. And, you know, what a blessing that is. And you can be a part of that as you come to Christ in salvation. Maybe you have a question about that. Maybe you'd like to talk to somebody about that. But I think we can all think of ways in which we can be a part of the harvest. God has, if you know Christ as Savior, God has gifted you in some way to be a part of the harvest. Our responsibility as a church is to make disciples. Yes, our missionaries do that. We support our missionaries. We pray for our missionaries to do that. But how can you, what are you doing to be a part in that matter of making disciples? Pray about that. If you have questions about that, jot that down. We want to help you and encourage you. And after in just a moment, we're going to take an offering. And that's a great way to continue to help this church and ministry be a part of the harvest. So think about that in your offering. Place your communication card, your connections card in the offering as well. And we'll be praying for you. And after the service, Jody and Beth will be in the back section here. We've opened up the back section of the worship center for several reasons. One is for fellowship, make connections with one another, but also to provide our missionaries opportunity to greet you, meet you. They have a table back there, a display, and please make it a point to talk with Jody and Beth and the family as they head back there in just a few moments. Father.